Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to bring in Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine, thank you. And hope everything's okay in your family. I know you had a little bit of a medical situation there last week, but I hope everybody's doing all right.
They are. Everybody's doing fine. It's just one of those things pops up, sounds a little scarier than it was, but everything turned out well.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that, and again, good to talk to you again today. Let's start out with this this recruiting class that the Dogs have put together. There are six Bulldogs that are in for spring, so Jake Fromm being one of those guys, along with D'Angelo Gibbs, the JUCO DeMarcus Hayes, Jeremiah Holloman, the receiver from Newton High School, also Richard LeCount and Monty Rice. Which of these guys, these six, has the best chance to be an impact player for the Dogs in the fall?
I think it's DeMarcus Hayes. I mean, you look at, you know, he's 6'6", he's 320, he's prototypical tackle. Played in a tough league down there at Mississippi Gulf Coast where he faced some really good players. I mean, he faced Isaiah Bugs, a kid that's committed to Alabama, the number one, JUCO defensive end prospect in the country. Faced him every day in practice for a couple of years, and he's faced some competition. He's faced some really good players. So I think that he has the opportunity to step in and kind of be a real difference maker for Georgia at left tackle or even right tackle. You know, Georgia's got some options now, and all of a sudden you start to feel, you know, yeah, you had a situation last year. We had Cablano and Pike, and you know, obviously Catalina came in and did the best he could and things like that. So you're going to lose some guys. But if Hayes can come in, he's a very big key to this class. If he can come in and make a little noise, learn the system, and you know, do the things he needs to do, then you've got the option of maybe playing him at left tackle if he looks really good there, or you could move him over to right tackle and let Isaiah Wynn play left tackle, who has done a pretty good job there, started the bowl game there, and is a good player. So, and I think you could really see Georgia get better at tackle this coming year. And also, you know, the continuity is going to be absolutely tremendous. I mean, for the first time in 3 years, a Georgia offensive line is going to go into the second year in a row under a new coach. And that's tough. I mean, you know, and that's not just the offensive line. That's guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. I mean, for the first time in Nick Chubb and Sony Michel's career, they're going to have the same offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row. So I think all of those things are really important for them. And something that I think can really help this team out. But DeMarcus Hayes is a guy who has a chance to really learn from the guys already there and the skill set to play right away and make a difference.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
Now, Jake, we've heard a lot of recruits, Isaiah Wilson, Richard LeCount, guys like that, call it flip season, and Georgia's done some pretty good work there, Monty Rice, one of them. But going forward between now and signing day and even beyond, who are some of the guys that Georgia's really going to target in that mold?
You know, I think Jamias Williams out of Grayson High School. Listen, I'm not super high on Jamias as a defensive back, and it's not because of his skill set. Obviously, he can stay in anybody's hip pocket. He does a tremendous job of covering guys. But at 5'7", 5'8", I mean, he's not gonna win a lot of those one-on-one battles. You know, you look at the national championship game, saw some of the plays that Mike Williams was making over guys that were 2 inches shorter than he is. A guy like Jamias Williams is going to be 7-8 inches shorter than a guy like Mike Williams. So that's tough. I mean, that is a real tough task for a kid like that. But at the same time, I do think he's the kind of kid you bring into the class, you give him a shot to play corner. If he's not succeeding there, he can succeed in a lot of other areas for you. Very Isaiah McKenzie-esque, except a little bit bigger and a little bit more powerful in terms of his ability with the ball in his hands. So I think he's a guy that Georgia's going to target heavily down the stretch. I think you're looking at guys like, in terms of flipping guys. You know, other than that, you got Markevious Bryant, Leonard Warner, a couple of, outside linebackers. Leonard Warner can play inside linebacker prospects there. You know, I think both of those guys would be a huge boost to Georgia's class, and I think they're probably looking at some cornerbacks too. Amir Speed, Eric Stokes, Elijah Blades, all three of those guys are on Georgia's radar as well. But right now I see Georgia with 23 commitments. If they hold on to all 23, I see them taking maybe three, possibly four more, but I would bet more on three. I don't see this being a 28, 29, you know, guy class. I could see it touch 27, but that, you know, I don't see it getting any higher than that.
Hey, what do you? What was your take on all the stuff that was going on with Rodrigo Blankenship and his parents last week, especially
his dad's just doing him no favors. I mean, listen, keep your mouth shut. You know, and I hate to say that about a dad. I'm not being insulting towards his dad in that way because I have kids, and I will do foolish things to protect my kids. I really will. Like, I told the story on our board here recently of how, you know, my mom almost got my dad in a fight with a 250-pound guy at a ball game when I was a kid because he simply yelled down there while I was hitting and the kid was pitching and this guy's son was the one doing the pitching, and he just yelled to his son with a 2-0 count, just throw him a strike. He's not looking to hit. He wants to take a walk. And my mom lost it. She did not want anybody thinking that her son was just down there looking to take a walk. So, you know, parents do crazy things. I mean, you know, when it comes to kids, It's that's just how it goes. But at the same time, I think in all likelihood, you may embarrass your kid, you may put your kid on the spot, but you never want to hurt them. And you never want to really hurt their brand, hurt their chances. And I think that's what Ken Blankenship may be doing a little bit. Now, I think that Kirby Smart and those guys are going to, you know, withhold a scholarship from Rodrigo simply because his dad spoke up? No, I don't think that's the case. I think Rodrigo has a strong spring. And Georgia has a spot available going into the fall. Rodrigo is going to get a scholarship, period. I think he's earned one and deserves one. But let's be real here. Kids don't get – very rarely do you see a walk-on. And I can't remember a single story. Listen, man, Martin Rick handed out walk-on scholarships at least three or four every year. I never remember him giving one out in January. So, you know, for that expectation to be there, I think it's a little obtuse. I don't necessarily think it's on base. And I think his dad probably needs to kind of lay low for a little bit, let Rodrigo continue to kick. And if they're going to leave him at Georgia, definitely just, you know, stop trying to create this drama in the media and allow it to go away and allow Rodrigo to get what, you know, earn what's his. And I think that he'll do that. He's just putting a lot of pressure on him with all this talk.
Are there any other irons in the fire in terms of specialists right now in recruiting?
Well, I mean, not really that I know of. I mean, I know Georgia's obviously looking at some guys. There's the kid named Cole Phillips down in Cairo. He's a kicker. He's a guy that you could look out for. They're looking to be getting a graduate transfer, Cameron Nizialek from Columbia University. He'll probably be a punter, 45 yards per punt last year, 43 yards the year before that. You know, it was actually 44.8 last year. That would be Georgia's best mark since Drew Butler in 2010, maybe 2011. I can't really remember. But it'd be the best mark for Georgia in a while, and Nizialek actually has a little bit of ability there, and is a big guy, can make a difference there for Georgia. I have a little bit of a story coming out later on today talking about the keys to Georgia's offseason, and I think, you know, improving Georgia's punting situation is the major need there. I mean, if Rodrigo Blankenship comes out and hits 77% of his kicks next year, and Georgia can add 8-9 yards to their net punting average, all of a sudden this special teams becomes a little bit of a strength for Georgia rather than the weakness it was this past year.
Yes, I guess we're still talking about Long and Ramsey and now maybe this the graduate transfer from Columbia. I mean, that's what we're looking at on the punting side of things?
As of right now, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Georgia add a walk-on, you know, or somebody that could come in and compete. I know there's a kid, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, over at Oglethorpe County, Taylor Getty,
uh-huh.
I think is his name. He's a big kid. He's a big athletic kid, 6'2", 190 pounds. I think runs really well, plays receiver for those guys. But I've seen some video of him punting. I've spoken to his mom, who is an Athens area photographer, who told me that he absolutely, you know, is on Georgia's radar. They've contacted him, but they've talked to him. So, you know, you could be looking at some guys like that, but I don't see a scholarship going out to any one of those guys. Numbers are way too tight right now.
And it doesn't like if Ramsey has that one last itch to play quarterback, it's not going to be somewhere else as a graduate transfer?
Doesn't look that way. It appears, you know, Kirby Smart made the comment, and I thought it was very, very, telling of kind of Bryce's commitment to the program. He said Bryce is a Bulldog. I mean, he's a Bulldog just like Kirby's a Bulldog, just like, you know, you guys are Bulldogs. I mean, he's a guy that believes in UGA, and he's probably going to come back and help the team wherever he could possibly help.
Now, looking at 2017, obviously Georgia's got an interesting schedule, and kind of looking at the rest of the conference, obviously Florida's going to lose a lot, and, you know, they had a lot of, for all of his faults, Will Muschamp got a lot of good defensive recruits in there, and most of those guys are going to be gone now, and Tennessee's going to be without Josh Dobbs. So how much of a favorite would you say that Georgia is in the East?
Georgia should win the East. I mean, I hate to put a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure on a team, but here are the facts. Florida's going to lose probably three or four of his best five players on the roster, and maybe, you know, five, six of the top ten. I mean, they Caleb Brantley, Quincy Wilson, Jalen Tabor, Gerard Davis, all of those guys are gone. So, you know, Georgia should be a more talented team than Florida this year. They weren't this past year. Tennessee, Derek Barnett, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Josh Dobbs. I'm not sure what decision Alvin Kamara made, if he's made one. I'm not sure what Josh Malone decided to do. But all in all, they're losing their starting quarterback. You've got yours returning as well as most of your veteran leadership. I mean, Georgia should be the favorite in the East. Heck, I might would toy with the idea of maybe thinking Kentucky is the second or third team in the East this year simply because of what they return. But they're going to have to play well. They're going to have to come out. They're going to have to come out ready for every ball game, and they're going to have to play well and really gel this offseason. And I think it's certainly something you could see happening. I mean, that jump from year two to year three is off. I mean, sorry, year one to year two is often the biggest, and that's something Georgia's got to do.
Hey, Jake, also noticed, too, you know, looking at commitments for the Dogs on your website at 247sports.com, like the way that I ranked them in order of I guess just their player ranking, that between Isaiah Wilson, Andrew Thomas, Natori Johnson, and Deontay Demery, that is what, four of the top seven in this class, not counting the ones that are in for spring, although you could throw in DeMarcus Hayes that are linemen. What did we learn, I guess, from watching Clemson and Bama on Monday, the lines of scrimmage and all that kind of stuff, and good to see that, you know, the top part of this signing class that Georgia's putting together is indeed linemen.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that was needed. I mean, you know, you see not just, you know, there are a lot of linemen at UGA right now, but I think what Georgia really wanted to do, what Sam Pittman wanted to do, it was, you know, noticeable right away. Wanted to get bigger, and I think that they've done that. I think they wanted to, you know, instead of using these 6'4" guys. And listen, let's be honest about this. A lot of these guys at Georgia that have been put in these situations to play offensive line over the past decade and a half have gotten the job done pretty well. They've done a good job. I mean, Georgia's had some really effective offenses, some really good teams. So I don't want to, you know, kind of throw off on the guys that have been at Georgia, because there have been some really good players and some guys that have gone on to play in the NFL. But I think more than anything, that Georgia wants to be able to be this team now that can make plays in the run game when teams know they have to make plays in the run game. When it comes down late in the game and you've been leaning on these guys with 320 and 330-pound offensive linemen all day, you know, that movement tends to come a little easier than if you're kind of relying on movement and scheme and more lateral stuff. And so I think that that's something that Georgia can definitely hang its hat on going forward if they continue to get classes like this. But, you know, being big also helps you hugely in pass protection, because you're long and you're able to kind of, you know, extend the edge. You may have it, you know, if you're a guy that's 6'6" out on the edge and you know, there's a guy that's 6'4" out there, if your arms are 2 inches, you know, longer or an inch and a half longer than the guy that was before you, you're just going to naturally do a better job of pass protection, because it lengthens the edge. It gives you that extra split second to get rid of the football. And that's so important. It's a game of inches. It's a game of fractions of seconds. And that's something that Georgia can do with some of the offensive linemen it's getting.
Jay, coming off of Clemson's national championship, you know, they're a school that has upped the game tremendously in terms of their facilities. I mean, their football, you know, headquarters or whatever you want to call it. I mean, they've got that slide. They've got a bunch of stuff. And that's one thing we talked about around here, whereas, you know, Georgia might not be as, up to date as some of the other schools that they're competing with in that category. How quickly would you say that that's going to change?
Well, I don't know that it's going to change because everybody's constantly tweaking. You know, I mean, it's, as you, you know, if you're Georgia and, you know, let's say that there was some fairly objective list of schools in the SEC and talking about facilities. Let's say Georgia's eighth today and they do a couple things to the stadium. They do a couple things to their own, you know, to their facility, to their practice facility, and next thing you know, they're third. Well, somebody's going to change something next year when Georgia's not, and it's going to move them back to sixth. And then, something's always changing. But I do think that what Georgia has to do a better job of, what the UGA administration has to do a better job of, is making sure that there's something constantly on the books. There's something constantly being done. Because a new facility means something to a recruit. But you know what also means something to a recruit? Walking and seeing a little construction going on and thinking, wow, I may be the first kid to be able to play in that. Or we may be the first class to really, you know, reap the benefits of this weight room expansion or this, you know, this recruiting lounge at UGA or this brand new locker room for the players at the stadium, stuff like that. I mean, listen, here's a big complaint I have with the way the University of Georgia goes about business. This recruiting lounge and this locker room at the University of Georgia at Sanford Stadium has been talked about for 3 years. I mean, the whole idea that it was going to happen and stuff like that, it happened the year before Mark Richt left. And we're still talking about it. I still don't think they started construction on it. I mean, I know these things take time, but you've got to show a little bit of a sense of urgency, especially when you're talking about a project that's going to help you at your stadium and help you with recruiting. And I think that's something that UGA, not necessarily the football coach or the football coaching staff or something like that, something that they can do a little bit better to support this program and to get it where it needs to go.
Jake, great stuff as always. Appreciate it, man. We'll catch you again next week. It's hard to believe signing day is only 3 weeks from today. I mean, man, it's here.
I know, man. I'm getting ready for a breakfast buffet. I hear there's going to be three of them in Athens with Blind Pig this year. So
yes.
I'm going to have to choose the one closest to me and go hit it up.
I hear you, my man. All right, great talking to you. Thanks, Jake.
Take it easy, fellas.
Yeah, they ain't going to have any canned peaches on there either.
No.
Although I like that. But
no, all fresh.
Yeah, exactly. So there's Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.